get started this morning, one thing I want to do is I want to welcome all the people that are on Facebook Live and watching right now with us. We got probably anywhere from 7 to 10 people. Hey, Dad, you're not allowed to leave. Dad, you better get back here, Dad. You cannot leave me. Even though I'm with Mom, you cannot leave me. I love kids, man. And look, some people get grumpy when kids cry in church. I love it, man. I love kids, man. It's all good. See, it made us all laugh this morning, didn't it? Put us in a good mood. Listen, we got people that are visiting on, that are watching online. We have some people that have never even been to stepped in the doors of this church, but because we have it, they're a part of our church every week. People that I've never even met before. We have several people that are like that. We got some friends from Louisiana that are on all the time. We got some people in where's she at? Miss Darlene is up north somewhere, Pennsylvania, I think. She's in Pennsylvania. She watches that every week. And there are so many people that join us that we never get to see that are part of our family, and we want to welcome them today. And then we've got several people that watch on demand on our website through YouTube. Thank you guys for watching and for being a part, and we want to welcome you here this morning too. We're going to start part 6 of this series called Taste and See. And today is Taste and See... that God is good to know. How many of you know, like I said a minute ago, there's a lot of things that we get because of our relationship with God. And I want us to make sure, let's say it gentle. I want to make sure that our relationship isn't about a gimme God. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I'm only going to be in a relationship with you because I get out of hell free. Right? God, I'm going to have a relationship with you because you're going to bless me. God, I'm going to be in this relationship because of these things, right? And part of the reason why there are people that are thinking that thought process is because they don't truly know who God is. So today is kind of a fundamental, kind of a basics class about getting to know God. But I want you to do this, man. I don't want you to be like, I already know all this stuff, so I'm going to check out and I'm going to make my grocery list and I'm going to do all those things. I want you to stay with me because how many of you know sometimes we need to go back, look at our foundation, make sure that it's in the right place, and then go again. Because sometimes we end up in the wrong place. But y'all don't end up in the wrong place. I end up in the wrong place sometimes, right? And I have to say, God, hold up, wait. Y'all remember my analogy being at the beach and I got to stay in front of the condo and next thing I know I'm down here and the condo's way over there. It ain't because I wanted to go there. It's just because I wasn't paying attention and now I'm there. That happens a lot in our spiritual life. And that's how the enemy tries to get us, is to put things, to plant seeds that will end up growing and being big trees in our life instead of... Yeah, instead of the little bit, the little thing that we can pluck out easy. You know, if you go up and out here we got some trees. And I went around the other day, I was working with Jeff and Rob, and I looked down and I saw a bunch of little trees coming up that's beside the other trees. We don't want those little trees there. We want just the one big tree. So you know what I did? I reached down and I pulled them up. That was easy to do. I can't grab that big tree and pull it up. I can't even use my truck to get it out. We'd have to cut it down and grind a stump and do all kinds of stuff. Why? Because it's rooted and grounded, right? We want to make sure that we are rooted and grounded in the right place, right? And that our life is growing and going the way that God wants it to go. And so today I want us to look and see. And again, I've said this about Paul. Paul thought he was doing everything he could for God until he met Jesus on the road. And he's like, man, why are you doing this to me? And he changed. Why? Because he found a relationship with God, not just knowing about him. Again, he was a Pharisee. He knew all of the ins and outs, all of the law, all of everything, but he didn't know God, right? Today, I want us to take a look and make sure that we know God, because in this life, it's crazy how the spiritual and the physical mirror themselves, right? A lot of times in our physical life, right, it's not about what you know, it's not about what you've done, it's about who you know. On certain times, right? I was talking to somebody the other day. They were going for a job interview. And I'm like, man, I hope. She's like, well, there's a couple people going for it. But it's okay because the person that told me to come and apply for the job is one of the ones that's giving me the job. So I'm pretty sure I'm in, right? Again, it's who you know. Other people may be more qualified. They may have more schooling. They may have more stuff. But it's about who you know. And how many of you know in this life, we need to know God. We need to have God in our life. I don't understand how people can get through things and not know God, man. I think about it. I'm looking and I'm saying, if I didn't know God, if I didn't know that God can bring good out of these situations, if I didn't know that God can have, does have a plan. So listen, Tuesday night Dr. Steve is part of a Bible college, and they do online classes and stuff like that. And I was on it this week. It's about prayer and intercession. It's a 6-week series. And I was on there, and one of the things that he did is he read Jeremiah 29:11. He quoted Jeremiah 29:11, which everybody knows that one, right? I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. This is a new Bible. I gotta find out where it's at. It's big print, so it's all over everywhere. It's bad when you got to get a big Bible like this. Wait, I'm in the wrong place. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans not for harm, but for good. And it goes through and says that. But nobody listens and reads verse 10. Can you quote verse 10 to me of Jeremiah 29? It says this. It says, after 70 years in Babylon, then I'm going to do something. Because I know the plans I have for you. You know, we use that verse and it's like, God's going to do it now and you just do it. And we're like, take us out of the situation and do this. And God says, sometimes my plan is for you to stay there for a while and go through some stuff. But I have a plan and you're going to love it. But like, again, we've talked about this before. Aaron said this. You know one of the stupidest verses in the Bible to me? Like, no verse is stupid, but you'll get the point what I'm saying in just a second. When Pharaoh was asked, when do you want the frogs to go away by Moses? And he says, tomorrow. Like, no, I want them frogs gone right now. Right? Sometimes we have to go through things. Sometimes there's a plan that's at the end of it that unless we're here for those 70 years in Babylon, we can't get to the end. And again, this whole series that we started doing this series because of the thought process from our last series was don't interpret God through your circumstances. Interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God, right? And so sometimes we see our situation and where we're at, and we're like, God, you've left us. God, you're not here. God, what's going on? Like the beginning of that song, sometimes I wonder if he's faithful. Sometimes I wonder if he's able to do it. Sometimes I wonder these things. And then I look back and see, oh, he is. He is, right? How many of you know when we look back at relationships and we see that how people have treated us in the past, we know how they're going to treat us in the future? Right? If you did it to me once, you're going to do it to me again. I'll forgive you if it was bad stuff, but I ain't going to let you be in a place to be able to do it to me again. But if you've done good things to me, when time comes, guess what? I'm gonna take care of you too, right? We need to look back and think about God. I was sitting here during prayer time, and I was thinking about Adam and Eve and how they hid in the garden when they had messed up. How many of us try to hide from God when we do something dumb? Like if we stay away from church, or we stay away from praying, or if we stay away from something, he ain't going to know about it. You know, he asked them those questions like, where are you guys at? Like, have you ever done that with your kids? Your kid hiding behind the blanket, like, oh, where are you? I don't know. You're under the covers on my bed. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I saw God talking to them at that time. Like, where are you at? Why are you hiding in the bushes? Because I've done this thing. He's like, you ate of that tree, didn't you? He already knew they had eaten of the tree. He could already tell. But what? He wanted them to say it. He wanted them to say, hey, this is what I've done. This is confessing our sins, right? But if you notice, he didn't just stamp them out right then. They did have consequences that came because of their actions. You know, we face consequences because of our actions. But when we look back and we see that's how God handled it. When we look back at the Israelites and we see them walking through the wilderness, grumbling and complaining and talk about how bad God is because they brought them out. You should have just left us there to die. Do you know what? He didn't leave them there to die. He still took care of them. He still sent manna. He still brought some of them into the promised land. Not all of them, but do you know what? The ones that were faithful, the ones that said God can do it, the ones that sought after him, Joshua and Caleb, they were there. The other 10 spies weren't. Think that thought. Think that thought, how positive. But when we look back at all these things and we see what God has done, we get to know God. When our situation comes, we shouldn't be afraid or upset or angry. We should just say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. Do you know what? That's a real holy and a real nice thing to say when I'm not going through the situation. I'm just going to tell you. But how many of you know, just because I'm not going through the situation doesn't make it any less true? Sometimes God's there and we're not looking for him, or we don't see what he's doing. And because of that, you know, we can't answer why stuff happens. We can't. But we can know that God is a good God. And that if we look at his scripture, he promises us time and time and time again that he's going to take care of us in any situation, that we need to keep looking for him. And when we know God, we can get through any situation. When we know what God can and will do because of his word, the promises that are there, we can come through anything. I can tell you, you have to know God. Knowing God has its benefits. What are his benefits? It says it gives us a peace. Y'all know those bumper stickers? Know God, no peace. Then you say, no God, no peace. You know what I'm saying? The English language is amazing when it does stuff like that. But anyway, right? If I don't have God in my life, I won't have peace. Do you know what? If I don't have God in my life, the joy that the world gives will not sustain me. It will be gone. And Jesus said, the joy God gives to you is not what the world gives. The world can't take it away. So that means in every situation, we can have joy. Every situation. Now, there's a lot of situations in our life aren't joyful. But we can know God's in control. Knowing God has its benefits. It teaches us what love truly is. To know God and know who he is. You know what else we get? We get everlasting life, according to his scripture. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Whosoever believes, have everlasting life, right? It's good to be connected to God, but the flip side of that is bad to not know him. Again, how do I... So, when... Let's see. I should have a child that is almost 17 right now. Do you know? It still bothers me, right? And I still don't understand it. But I do know God's in control. And I know that if it happened, there's a reason, there's a purpose. Maybe I wasn't ready yet. Maybe I would have dropped that baby on his head. Who knows? Never mind. I ain't gonna say it. I don't know what the reason was behind it, but I do know that God has a plan and a purpose. Do you know while I was going through that, the only thing that I could think about is, God, you have a plan. You have a purpose. I'm gonna trust you. I don't like it. I'm very mad right now, but I'm gonna trust you through the situation, right? How do people in that spot have any peace? Any joy, any comfort, they don't. They don't. And so one of the things that we look at is it in knowing God and having a relationship with him is the most important thing that should be a part of our life. For our needs, for our wants, for our kids, for our future. The question today is, do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? Listen to this quote by Billy Graham. Most of us know about God, but that's quite different from knowing God. Knowing about him is totally different than knowing him. There's such a huge difference between the two. It's called a relationship, having a relationship. So thinking this thought, I want to ask you about somebody. I don't know about you guys, but I love watching Harrison Ford movies. Right? I'm a big Harrison Ford fan. This is the thing about Harrison Ford. I can know that he was born July 13th, 1942. I can know that he started his acting career in 1966, but he didn't get his big break until Star Wars, Han Solo, 1977. Right? I can go through and I can list the movies and who he was. I can tell you that in the movie The Witness, he was John Book in Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, y'all, so you know, all four of them or whatever. Blade Runner, he was Rick Deckard. In Ender's Game, he was Colonel Hiram Graff. In Patriot Games, he was Jack Ryan. Like, I know all the characters that he played and the people that he was, and I know who he is. I can research his who he was married to and what food he likes, and I can do all of those things. But if I walk up to him and say, hey man, how you doing? He'd be like, I don't know who you are. Probably have him, look, I know all your movies. So do you guys realize, if we, look, My brain works weird, y'all. I'm just saying. If we look at most people's number one fan, right? The ones that do the fan clubs, and I know everything about you. The people that they're doing that fan club for think they are the weirdest people in the world and do not want them around them. Think that thought, right? Like, look, this dude's weird. I know he knows what I eat for breakfast, but that's awkward to me because I don't even know him, right? So if we think that thought about God, there's a lot of people that know a lot of stuff about God, but do not have a relationship with him. One of the most challenging scriptures in the Bible, areas in the Bible, is Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So look, I can do all kinds of stuff for God, for the church, for all these things. I can be faithful sitting in a chair. I can give tithes and offerings until I'm broke. I can do all kinds of stuff. I can serve at every food pantry, and every time the door's open, I can come here. But without having the relationship with him does me no good. No good. Now, let me tell you something. When the relationship comes, all these things will come out of it as a byproduct. But the byproduct doesn't get me into the relationship. It doesn't. I have to know him. I did all these good works. I did all these things. And then he says, "Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." And this is the one thing, if you get anything out of this message today, no matter how long you've been a Christian, you have to know him. It's not about the things that you've done. It's about the relationship that you have. And again, man, when you start doing all these things, the byproducts will come. The symptoms will be there, right? I have a relationship. Here's the fruit that comes from the relationship, right? But without the relationship through Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross for us, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. We need to know God. We need to have a relationship with God. So how do you know God? And again, this is kind of the building blocks of how to know God. First is look up and look around. Psalms 121, 1 and 2, it says, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth." When you look around and see how amazing this world is, when you look and see the most beautiful painted sky that no lens or no artist could ever make up. You know, I saw something. I was thinking about something funny. They have a new telescope, right, that can look really, really far, past beyond where the Hubble telescope can look, right? The Hubble telescope's really, really cool. Gave us some amazing things. And some of the people are upset because this sees in black and white. It does not see in color when it brings stuff by. And it sees so well that infrared is what it uses. So it looks through dust. It looks through the big clouds, so all the things we couldn't see through before, this new telescope will do that. And they said one of the things that a lot of people are upset about is it only sees black and white. We don't know what the true colors are. So there's some artistic licensing that's going to come from those pictures when they color them. But what a lot of people don't understand, how amazing those Hubble telescope pictures are, there's a lot of creative artistry that goes into help manufacturing those pictures, right? And I'm going to tell you something. What God has created, there's some super talented people, but nothing compares to what God does. Nothing compares to the sky that you see. I try to take pictures all the time of the sunrise and the sunsets, and look how beautiful it is. How many of you know that phone is horrible? Like, it don't look like nothing like my eye sees it, right? Look around. See, when I started looking into hydroponics and growing different things, and it was all not, it was good stuff, y'all, stuff to eat, right? When I started looking at hydroponics and I was doing these things, the amazing way that God has created the cycle of how everything feeds everything. And how if you take one part of the equation out, it messes it all up. Why? Because he created it perfectly. How when you look at the aquaponics, what they call it, where the fish eat the roots of the plants, and then but the plants grow because of the fertilization that the fish put into the water, right? And it grows the fruit, which in turn comes and comes around and feeds the fish. And it's the cycle that's there. When we look at our bodies and how amazingly they work. How you get a splinter and your body works together to push it out, right? We're like, oh, that's nasty. No, yes, but it's better than having that splinter get messed up, right? How our body fights infection and does certain things. How else can you explain it that there is a God that can do amazing things when you look around and see just what we have every day? We take for granted every day. Like when I was a kid, I used to hate when we went through the mountains because my parents wanted to stop and stand, look off the same thing for like 30 minutes. And I'm like, walk up. I'm like, yep, it's a long way down. Can we go to McDonald's now? You know, that's where. But now I stand there and I think, how amazing. Now my kids are like, yep, Dad, it's a long way down. Can we go to McDonald's now? So it's the cycle. There's another cycle in our lives, right? But it's one of those things that we look and see. If you can't see that God exists, if you can't know that there's something that exists that I can't see, look, we have a hard time believing in God, but wind, sure. We ain't got no problem thinking about wind working. Can you see the wind? No, you can see the effects of wind. You can see what happens because there is wind. Same principle happens with God. I don't see him. Like, I don't look around and be like, oh, God, there you are. Thanks for coming to hang out at my party. But he's there. I know he's there. How do I know he's there? Because of the effects that happen. Because of him. Because of what is around us. God's handiwork, again, is all around us. Psalms 19, 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor their words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. We look at how we have daytime and nighttime. It's amazing if you think about it. And to say it just happened by accident, like it just sort of happened over time. It did sort of happen over time. After God said, let there be light, right? It's hard to look at God's creation and not see it. Look at the mountains, man, the Rocky Mountains, the Smoky Mountains. Look at the ocean when you go to the ocean. And remember, one of my favorite things out of the last couple of services was about the ocean, about how God's love, the ocean is like God's love. You can see the beginning, but you can't ever see the end, right? When you're looking across, you don't see the other side of it, but you know it's there. One of the things about God, we know it doesn't ever get there. When you go fishing, and you're sitting out on the water and how beautiful it is. And you see different things, man. When we go riding 4x4s in the woods. God is deliberate with his beauty that he shows to us. With what he's given to us. He created it all and said, hey, go. Take care of it for me. Be good stewards of it, right? Eat of the land. Man, how do people not get it? I don't understand. So I'm going to tell you a story. Y'all ready for a story? I'm going to make y'all laugh for a second. There was a young woman that was a teacher. She had liberal views, and she began to explain to her class of small children that she was an atheist. So she asked her class if they were atheists too. And because they wanted to be like their teacher and they wanted to do well in class, they raised their hand and they were all like, I am. And their teacher kind of looked at them with approval, except one little girl named Lucy. Lucy didn't raise her hand. And the teacher asked her why she had decided to be different. She told her teacher, because I'm not an atheist. And the teacher asked, what are you? And Lucy says, I'm a Christian. The teacher, a little aggravated, face slightly red, she asked Lucy why she was a Christian. And she said, well, I was brought up knowing and loving Jesus. My mom is a Christian. My dad is a Christian. So I'm a Christian. Teacher very angrily said, that's no reason, she said loudly. What if your mom was a moron? What if your dad was a moron? What would you be? And with a pause and a slight smile, Lucy said, then I'd be an atheist. Look, all of God's creation, you can see God everywhere. How can you not? How can you not? You want to know God? Look around. Look at what he's created. Look at what he's done. Look at the past, the track record of who he is and what he does for his children. What he does for people who aren't his children. Do you know at one time we weren't his children and he sent his son? So we could be. Right? So we could be. Number two, listen up. To hear God's voice, you must turn down the world's volume. Let me say that again. To hear God's voice, you got to turn down the world's volume. You might be listening, but a lot of times, sometimes we're listening to the wrong voice. Sometimes we're listening to the wrong voice. The scripture tells us that the enemy comes as an angel of light. Right? We might be listening. This is what John 10:27 says. Is my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, as a Christ follower, we hear a lot about talking to God, about praying, but we don't talk a lot about listening to God, if you notice. We don't understand. So when I was in Apopka, man, as a kid, going to youth camps, we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. My youth pastor, his name was Les Lusk, and he did a, I remember the shirts, I remember going up there doing everything that we did, but it was about, the whole sermon, the whole week was about be still and know that I'm God. While we were in Tennessee, we found different places where we had scriptures and different things that we would meditate on, and so we would go and take a hike into the woods, and we'd go to these different places, and the whole premise was, don't get close enough, you can talk to somebody, get by yourself, look at that scripture, read that scripture, and then ask God to speak to you about what it means, right? Be still and know that I am God. That was the scripture. Do you know how I equate it in my brain? Because I'm, like I said, a little different at times. It's like, shut up and listen, find out who I am. Stop talking, find out who I am. Right? Because we come to God and we say, hey, this is this and this is that and this is that, like an ATM guy. God, I'm giving you this, this, and this, and this. Now I'm just going to go my own way. I love what John said earlier. It's about pray without ceasing. How is that? That's in everything that you're doing, man. Thank you, God, that I just got a parking spot. The end. Right? Thank you, God, that there's provision. Thank you, God, that I don't have any substitutions in my Walmart pickup, right? Like, there's all kind of stuff you can thank God for. It's endless. Because how many of you know he is our provider? We need to understand sometimes we need to stop and listen for him. I love in the scripture, and I don't remember where it's at. It's in the Old Testament, but he's wanting to talk to God, and he's like, listen for me. And then there's a wind and a fire and all these different things, and then there's one tiny voice. Sometimes we've got everything going so loud we can't hear that tiny voice. You know what I equate it to? I'm good. My Jeep. I would drive my Jeep. When you have Jeep, you got the windows off. And it's loud, so to listen to the radio, you turn the radio up really, really loud. I mean, y'all probably don't, but I do, right? I turn it up really loud. I'm jamming out going down the road and listening to what I'm listening to. But do you know what happens? There was a squeak that started happening in my front end, and I never realized it because I had everything so loud. My tire ended up falling off. Remember, Shane? It just rolled away. Why? Because I was too busy listening to everything loud and everything around me to pay attention to the small noises that I could have heard that could have fixed things, right? Sometimes we need to turn everything down. We need to cut the radio off. We need to roll up the windows. We need to sit there and just listen. That's a metaphor for what we're supposed to do with God, right? We're supposed to do that. We need to do that. We need to stop and just listen. I don't know if you've ever heard this saying, but I like it. It says, I've never learned anything while I was talking. I never learned anything while I was talking. Only through listening. What a true statement. What a true statement. God, teach us to listen, man. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We need to listen. Listen for his voice. He'll keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. But again, you can't learn if you're talking. You can't listen if you're talking. Many times I feel like that little kid. So, yeah. I like watching little dumb videos and stuff. And there's this one little kid, and he's talking to Linda, which apparently is his mom. And he's talking to his mom how apparently his dad talks to his mom. And his mom's saying stuff. And he's like, Linda, Linda, listen, listen, honey, listen. He's like this big. He's like, listen, honey. Like, she's like, you're not listening to me. He's like, you're not listening to me, right? Listen, Linda, listen. I feel like a lot of times that's what we're doing to God. Listen, God. Listen, God. God, listen. Listen. Listen to me, God. Instead of listening to him. Instead of following what he has to say. Mom's like, I'm not going to argue with you. You're going to listen. You're going to listen. He's like, I'm not going to argue with you. You need to listen, right? And it's cute and funny right now, but when we think about it, I think the video ends because the mom's getting tired of it. She's like, all right, this is enough. We're going to stop it right here. But it was funny for a minute. But when we think about our lives being like that towards God, man, God, listen. God, I know you know better than me. I know that this is, but you need to listen to me because I have something important to say. Do you know what? God has a lot more important things to say than we do. One of the things that I've heard is this says that God is not listening. He's not saying anything. And this is a quote by Matt Brown. It says, don't say God is silent when your Bible is closed. Don't say God's silent when your Bible's closed. If you're not opening up his word and reading and trying to see and learn the principles and learn the things that he has to tell us, and then you're going to say, God's not speaking to me. Man, he speaks to us always. And that's the crazy thing about this book, man. This book, I can read the same scripture at three different times in my life, and that same scripture say three different things to me. Why? Because it's the living word. Because the Holy Spirit is showing me things and teaching me things that I need to know at the time that I need it. Right? Sometimes we learn stuff and then we forget about it. And then we have to come back to do it. God's smart enough to know that we do that. So what? Sometimes he doesn't tell us what the answer is until we're right at the test. Just a thought. Just a thought. Why does he do that? Why does he reveal these different things? Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. His word is active. His word is alive. He wants to speak to us. We need to stop and listen. You want to know God? You want to know who he is? Look up, look around you. Next thing you need to do is listen up. Listen to him. Last thing, you ready for the last one? This is what we need to do in order to know God, is to let him in. Let him in. I'll tell you what, man. This is a cry of my heart that we as a body of believers, a faith family, would know who God is. That we would come together in unity as to what he wants to do and who he is. Do you know why? Starting off with just this place. Because God says in his word, if we come together in unity, there is nothing we can't accomplish. And if we would come together in unity, chasing after the will of God for this place, do you know this place would be unstoppable? Do you know that as I was talking with Richard, right? I was talking with Richard before service. Do you know that the church down the street, the church across the street, Bay Street right here, One Fire, all the churches that are around us, do you know that they are our family? They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we would put down differences and come together and stand in unity on God and His will and what He wants us to do as the church, we would be unstoppable. He wants to do some amazing things. We need to let Him in. And this is one of the things that it is it's like Paul on the road to Damascus. He knew about God. He knew everything that there was to know about His rule and the word and what they had at that moment of the scriptures, right? He knew all of it, but he did not have a relationship with Him. And as soon as he found out that it was available, what it was, what happened, he changed. He said, from this moment on, I ain't going to worry about what I did. I'll use it as a reference point so I make sure I don't go back there. I'll use it as a reference point to help teach other people. Do you know the junk you go through your life is not just so that you can go through it and learn something and be strong? It's so that you can use it to help other people overcome these things. It's so that you can do ministry and be a part of what God calls the reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. You can use what you've gone through. Like, well, I'm still struggling with my stuff. Do you know what? There's people that have been through it before that are struggling through your stuff. And if they will stand up and share what they've gone through, what happened to them, That's why meetings like NA and AA and Celebrate Recovery across the street are so good, because they come together and they say, I've been through this. How did you get through it? Because I'm struggling with it. And like, well, I tried this. Do you know where a lot of those fall down? They talk about a creator, but they leave God out of it. They talk about a powerful being, but they leave God away from it, right? They're pointing to Him, but they're pointing away from Him at the same time. Right? That's one of the things I like about Celebrate Recovery, which is different than the other ones, is they're 100% Bible-based, right? But the importance of them is this. Do you know the support groups for people who have been abused, for people who have gone through traumatic situations, where they go and sit and talk about things and get things out in the open? That's a good thing. Because you know what? When we hold all those things in and bottle them up, do you know what? When we let Him into our life, again, not the byproduct, not just about the symptoms of the thing, but when we let Him into our life, it's like I talked about the verse a couple of weeks ago. I believe that the guy wasn't just like, well, try it and you might like it. I think it was more like, we talked about this yesterday at lunch, right? I'm just like, look how amazing this is. You have got to taste this. But you know, if I eat something bad too, I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. You have got to taste this, right? I don't know why I do both of them, but I do. But I think that's what the writer was telling us in Psalms 38:4. He was saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. Look at what I found. Look at what God's done in me. And He wants to do it for you. When we let Him in, that becomes the byproduct of it. You know, when I first got saved and I first felt that weight lift off me, I was calling my dad, who had been a pastor for 20-something years, telling him he need to get saved and feel what I feel. I just, he looked at me like, oh, Tobe, I love you, Tobe. I was calling my brothers and sisters. My mom was like, man, I hate it when he calls. All he does is preach at us. Right. Why? Because I let him in, and all that I could do was to give it to somebody else. That's what taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we know God, when we know the relationship we have, when we meet Jesus and what He's done for us, and we allow it to come out of our lives, it not only changes who we are, our disposition, but it changes everyone we come in contact with. And don't be upset. Some people aren't going to be happy with the change that is in you. Some people don't want to hear about Jesus. Some people don't want to hear about what happened in your life and how God took care of these issues in your life, because they're not ready to give it to God, and they know that's the only thing that's going to take care of it. Do you know, when somebody tells me that I've done something dumb, I already knew I did something dumb. I didn't need them to tell me I did something dumb. And when they tell me, it angers me. Not just because they told me, but because I already knew I did something dumb. And I know now everybody else does too. Right? We need to look. We need to let God in. We need to look up. We need to listen up. We need to let him in. And we need to follow what he wants us to do. When we do those three things, and when we find out who he is, this is what the scripture says. Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. When we give our lives to him, when we look to him, when we find him, when we really get to know who he is, not about him. And I'm just going to be real. There's a lot of people that sit in the chairs at the church that don't even know who he is. I'm not talking just about Victory. I'm talking about in the church as a whole. There are many people that do it because that's what they're supposed to do. People look at them because they're supposed to come to church, so they come to church. They're supposed to put money in a place, so they put money in a place. They're supposed to do this, and they're supposed to not say bad words, and they're supposed to not go out and do this. They're supposed to do that, and that's what it means to be a Christian. That is not what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian is to follow Christ in every aspect of your life. And you know what? Those things that you're not supposed to do will melt away, will fall away. You won't want to do them. You won't want to do them. And when you do, you'll be so devastated that you've done them that you fall back at his feet and say, man, I'm so sorry, God. We were talking about that earlier before church too. I love our conversation before church, man. Y'all should get here early. Anyway, we were talking about David and about how David was a man after God's own heart, how he sinned. And then he turned to God. Do you know he didn't realize he was in the sin until Nathan came and said, hey, man, let me tell you the story about a guy. He's like, who is this guy? We need to kill him. He's like, that guy's you. He's like, oh, what have I done? God, I've sinned against you. And he repented. And when people said, hey, don't do it like that, he's like, look, you just need to back up. This is me and God. I'm going to get it right. Because I've done wrong. When we have the relationship, do you know what? In my relationship with my wife, when I do something dumb, I don't always want to say I'm sorry. I don't always want to repent. But do you know what? I always do. Do you know why? Because of our relationship. Because I love what we have. And I don't want to go away for anything that I've done that's dumb. Right? Now, my relationship with God, when I do something dumb, I immediately come to him and say, God, I did something dumb. Please forgive me. Do you know what? I still have consequences for the dumb things that I've done. Look at Adam and Eve. But he still loves me, and he still gives me an opportunity to be a part of his family. Amen? We need to get to know him. We need to get to know who he is. He wants to know each and every one of us. This is what he says in Revelation 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. He's standing at the door. He sent his son so that we could have freedom, so that we could have access. And Jesus changes everything. The question is are you going to have that relationship? Are you going to stop and say where you're at? Say, this is where I'm at in my walk. My walk has maybe gotten stagnant. My walk has maybe walked away from him. My walk has maybe done things. Maybe I've let my flesh come back that doesn't need to, that's dead, and I've put it back inside of me, and I need to start afresh, to start anew. I mean, you know, we do that sometimes. That's part of the dumb things we do, right? But he's faithful, man, and we can come back. He's faithful if you've never come to him. He wants to know you. That's why he sent his son. Bow your heads with me. Aaron, come on up, man. Kendra, please. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. He wants to have a vibrant relationship, a meaningful relationship with you. Scripture tells us this, Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect, but God made a way. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You want to have a relationship? You want to have right standing with him? You want to be able to come into his presence with anything and everything and understand that he's in control and he's going to take care of you? He made a way. We say a prayer. Do you know it doesn't do you any good to say the prayer and not give him your life? Talk is cheap. Actions. What do you do after you say the prayer? Do you give him your life? Do you make him the Lord of your life? Do you start following him? Or do you walk on your own? We're going to say a prayer. The reason why we do that is because it says if you confess with your mouth. We're going to confess all together that he sent his son, that he died for us, that we have access to God and that we accept it now and that we give him our lives. We want to be who he created us to be. Dear Heavenly Father, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your son so that I could be part of the family. I accept it now. Take this old heart out. Give me a new heart. Allow your spirit to lead me and guide me so that I'll follow your ways, as it says in Ezekiel. I love you and I thank you. And I want to know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want you to do this for me. If you're watching online, man, you can either comment on there, I gave my life to Christ, or you can direct message us on the Victory Church Messenger page. If you're here, man, there's a card in the back of your seat. I want you to do me a favor and fill it out. It's called communication card. It's in most of them. If there's not one, we can get you one. But I want you to fill that out, and I want you to say, I gave my life to Christ today. Why is that important? Why do I want to know that? Because you know what? When we give our life to Christ, the enemy doesn't like that. And it's like us turning the direction from going with the flow of, yeah. So, y'all ready? I'm going to tell you another story. We go to Rock Springs sometimes with my kids on Mondays because everybody's in school and at work. And ain't nobody there. But it's a spring, and it starts, and it goes pretty good, right? So much so that we get on our tube, and we go that way. But we got down to the end, and I didn't want to walk, get out and walk down the thing. So I had the bright idea to turn around and to walk with my tube back to the swimming hole in the middle. Do you know how? Oh, wait, man. I'm like, I know it's okay. We're just going this way. Do you know how much harder it was to do that than it was to just flow down the river? Do you know in our life, when we try to turn and go towards God, there's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some people coming the other way, be like, you're going the wrong way. Don't you understand? This is the fun route. But understand this, man. Anything that God has for us is far better than this world could ever offer us. It's a substitution for what God has for us. Don't get worried because you're like, man, I gave my life to Christ and it seems like it's getting more difficult to walk this life. It does and it doesn't. There's more things that come at you, but God is with you, and it says he will sustain you. It says he will carry you. He will bring you through. When all these things happen, when the fire comes, when the water comes, you're not going to get burnt and it's not going to overflow you. God is with us. He'll part the seas, let people walk through on dry ground. He'll let you dance around in the fire for a minute. And then come out and the people get thrown in after you get all burned up. Why? Because he's our protector. He loves us. He cares for us. He's going to bring us through those situations. We need to trust him on it. Amen? Stand to your feet. We're going to sing.